Happy Valentine's Day! I have a special Valentine's Day treat for you this episode with a tender love story between a gnome named Gus and a dwarf named Galaxy. I'm so excited about it. Also, you will meet indirectly Mrs. Whitaker's fairy god teacher colleagues, Mrs. McBride, math teacher, and Mr. Teasdale, drama teacher. You will be introduced to the members of the Dog Hobble Trio, Gus, whom I've already mentioned, along with Ralph, a human, and Ben, a boojum. Don't know what a boojum is? You're going to find out. But the very best part of this episode is you get to hear my daughter sing in Irish Gaelic. Pretty cool, huh? Campus, a novel that wants to be a musical by Katie Winkler. Chapter 3, Part 3. Meanwhile, back at the main stage, Dr. Dagg smiled down at Mrs. Sabowski before turning back to the microphone. But there's no harm in having a little fun first, so give it up for the Dog Hobble Trio. Dr. Dagg was clapping hysterically. He really and truly loved the Dog Hobble Trio, made up of a human, a gnome, and a big boojum, sort of on the small side, only about 7 feet tall. Oh, so you don't know what a boojum is? You don't know much about Appalachian lore, do you? That's okay. Not many do. Let me explain. Now, I must first put on my storytelling hat here, and the accent to go along with it. A boojum is sort of like a yeti, a Bigfoot, but he ain't. He's big, 7 to over 8 feet tall, with long matted silver hair, with the face of a right ugly man, with big lamp-like googly eyes and a large bulbous nose, sort of like the troll of Elkmont. I'll tell you about the trolls later. His skin is yellow and pasty from living in the dark most of the time. He makes his home in the Balsam Caves over in Haywood County. Quite a commute when he sings at campus, so the gnome and the human give him extra from their earnings to pay for the gas. The boojum folk like to stay in the Balsams most of the time. Many a backpacker has heard their lonesome howling as they go hiking in the backcountry around Cold Mountain or up off the Blue Ridge Parkway near Black Balsam or Shining Rock. Of course, there are way too many tourists up that way these days, so this boojum likes to find his way to the isolation of Blue Ridge County. Not many tourists find their way here, you know. Like all the boojum, this fella likes him some pretty females, so he likes to come with the Dog Hobble Trio and sing on Rush Registration Day here at campus. He doesn't discriminate with his females. He likes all kinds. Elves, dwarves, gnomes, moon-eyed women, humans, even demon dogs. Though he is a gentle soul, and those female dogs sometimes play a bit too rough. The college pays him in gems. Rubies, sapphires, mica, even fool's gold. Anything shiny. Still found and mound here in the creeks and rivers that flow through Blue Ridge County. Dwarfs do most of that work these days. They love the gems, too. Okay, I know that's a stereotype, but I fight against overwhelmingly stupid political correctness. I mean, being a decent person no matter your race is one thing, but being oversensitive to every perceived slight and thinking you're God's gift to humanity and that no one's feelings matter but your own is another. It's narcissistic, if you ask me. But wait, you didn't. Now who's being narcissistic? Remember, this isn't about you, Mrs. Whitaker. Anyway, this particular boojum, his name is Ben Boojum, had kind of been ostracized by the rest of his tribe. He is sort of different for a boojum because they tend to be kind of a lonely and morose bunch, climbing around the rocks at night, moaning over being too ugly to attract too many of the females they long for, and too stupid to acquire the gems. Ben wasn't like them. He was right happy most of the time. if not downright cheerful. And he wasn't stupid. One day, when he should have been wailing and moaning with the others, he was singing a sort of merry little bluegrass tune that none of them Boojum knew, but I bet you do. He was singing.
She loves me. She is as sweet as sweet I can be. She's got eyes of baby blue. Makes my gun shoot straight and true. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a run. Going up Cripple Creek to have some fun. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a whirl. Going up Cripple Creek to see my girl. Cripple Creek's wide and Cripple Creek's deep. I'll wait on Cripple Creek before I sleep. Roll my britches to my knees. I'll wait on Cripple Creek when I please. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a run. Going up Cripple Creek to have some fun. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a whirl. Going up Cripple Creek to see my girl. I went down to Cripple Creek to see what the girls had to eat. I got drunk and fell against the wall. Old corn liquor was the cause of it all. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a run. Going up Cripple Creek to have some fun. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a whirl. Going up Cripple Creek, see my girl. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a run. Going up Cripple Creek to have some fun. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a whirl. Going up Cripple Creek, see my girl.
Now, a slow, sad ballad or two, sung out of tune or spoke sung real low, was one thing. But singing that high and in tune? Why, that was a disgrace to Boojumery. But I digress. Let's back up a bit. So Dr. Dagg smiled down at Mrs. Sabowski. Like I said, there's no harm in having a little fun first, so give it up for the dog hobble trio. Dr. Dagg was clapping hysterically. He really and truly loved the dog hobble trio made up of a human, a gnome, and that hairy little Big Ben Boojum. The trio came out on stage, all wearing blue suits with silver and blue striped vests. Ben and the human, his name was Ralph, a rather nondescript fellow, tall and lanky, had on a straw hat set at a jaunty angle. The gnome, Gus Davy Barr, sported a tall blue cap in honor of his race and to make him appear not quite so short beside the human and the Boojum. Gus, of course, sang bass. Appalachian gnomes are akin to dwarves and tend to have low voices. Gus was no exception. It was Gus who started the group. He used to be a member of a circus group of gnomes who traveled in the human world, but Gus reached that age when he was ready to settle down. And he fell in love with a sweet little blue-eyed dwarf named Galaxy. She clerked at the gem mine on the edge of town near Hutch Mountain. Galaxy had been a spinster for years, mainly because she was too pretty for any of her fellow dwarves to be too interested, and also because she was just too darn sweet. They liked their women with a bit more spirit, don't you know? Galaxy smiled at Gus when he went in to exchange a bit of agate for some mica to attach to his new blue pointy felt hat. And she smiled at him with her brilliant white teeth that all her fellow dwarves recoiled at. That was all she wrote. Gus was done for. He started dating her and married her 2 months later. It's funny how one person's ugly is another's pretty, isn't it? Gus married Galaxy and they settled into a nice little hut not too far from the gem mine that Gus bought her as a wedding gift. No other women knew he was rich or they'd have been on him like a duck on a June bug. But Gus, though he was rich as a king, never showed off his wealth because he wanted someone to love him for who he was inside. And truth be told, he was a little tight-fisted too. Except when he wanted to please Galaxy. That's the way it was that night when he first stayed over to the trailer behind the gem mine where she lived by herself, alone and lonely. That was the night she heard him singing in the shower. It was a deep, rich, earthy voice, singing a song she had never heard before. Gus, what were you singing? She asked him after he had toweled off and wrapped himself in one of her fuzzy pink robes and they sat together on the porch swing, sipping their Highland brews. He blushed. Oh gosh, you heard me singing? She dropped her head. It was so pretty, but I didn't understand a word.
Pretty?
He grunted and sipped his beer. Put his arm around her.
I don't know about that.
Inside, his heart was doing flip-flops, and his spirit was shouting, "She thinks my singing is pretty." "I do," she said in her sweet dwarfish voice, too sweet for the dwarfs. "What language is that, and what does it mean?" Already, he couldn't refuse her. To her, his speaking voice was almost as beautiful as his singing. Just as deep and rich. Eventide falls again, over woods and fields. Peace is simpering down, and the world's at rest. Just the brook pours out by the boulder yonder, bustling and flowing ever on and on. She grabbed a hold of his strong, tiny gnome hand that was draped over her shoulder, and they sat there swinging, looking out over Hutch Mountain as the sky turned orange and pink and yellow, and the mountain began to fade and disappear into the night. It was so peaceful, and she felt so calm, she cried for joy, knowing that she would never be lonely again. Not with this gnome by her side. Okay, I said before that Ralph, the human, was kind of nondescript, but I take it back. He was tall, his vest was too short, and his shirt poofed out from underneath. His trousers, however, were baggy around his shoes. You see, Ralph was too poor to buy a pair of dress pants, and the Boojum happened to have an extra pair to loan him. Ralph, what can I say about Ralph? He was born to Maggie, the 16-year-old daughter of a geek whose family had come to town for their annual vacation. Blue Ridge County was the only place they felt normal. There weren't too many humans around in those days, but Ralph's mother had found one. 9 months after the finding, that human was gone, and the girl was left holding, well, Ralph. Then the geek daddy tossed his daughter out of the trailer, because he may have been a geek, but he was a decent man, don't you know. But Ms. McBride, that crazy fairy god teacher who teaches math, she is such a soft-hearted fool. She had started a home for unwed mothers and had an extra bed in her cottage. She was already roomies with a pretty elf named Daisy, who had gotten in trouble with the supervisor of the doll line over at the toy factory where she worked. Fairy godteacher and Daisy had helped Maggie get a job at the toy factory, but it didn't work out too well. She got pregnant again. You guessed it, the supervisor on the doll line was the father, and then she ran off with him, leaving Ralph and the elf child in the cottage with Ms. McBride. The young teacher couldn't take care of him and was going to give him up, but Daisy wouldn't hear it. She took Ralph in, and ye old crone, that's me, arranged the adoption. Turns out that little elf had a pretty good head for numbers. Didn't hurt that she lived with a math teacher for a while, one who tutored her through school, and she got a scholarship to campus, made straight A's in all of her math classes, got a job as an accountant working in the business office at campus. All this time, despite going to school and working at the Moon Eye Diner over by Five Points near downtown Dog Hobble, Daisy was working hard to be the best mama she could be to little Ralphie. And the fairy godteachers did their part. Even that drama godteacher took his turn babysitting, but he wouldn't change diapers. He would go over and sit with Mrs. Whitaker, though, when she was babysitting him, and he would hold the little thing, sing him some show tunes, give him his bottle and burp him, but that was it. One time he was holding Ralphie, heard him poop, and held him out for Mrs. Whitaker to take him. She was carrying into the sitting room a large pan of purple hull pisby shell and said, "You're holding him, you change him." "Nope," said the godfather. "Here's the baby, and I'm sitting." He just refused to change that baby. I mean, it would not have hurt him one bit to get up his lazy behind and change that baby, seeing as how Mrs. Whitaker was obviously busy with something, but no, he couldn't be bothered. Anyway, I digress. Daisy was a good mama to her own child, a girl named Liddy, and to Ralphie. Mrs. McBride would sometimes go by the room when the three were still living with her and hear Daisy singing to her children in her beautiful Sylvan elf voice.
Cheery, mola mishkolieri.
Daisy did a lot for that boy, and so did the fairy godteachers. Mr. Teasdale encouraged him to join the music program. His mother's lovely voice must have moved him, and he soon learned all of the folk songs. Hearing that beautiful voice when he was a baby transferred the gift to him, I suppose. Mr. Teasdale had known for a long time that singing obviously filled Ralphie with joy. So, when Ralphie went to register for classes at campus, Mr. Teasdale sprinkled him with the fairy dust and talked him into taking voice and acting classes. The moment the boy first stepped foot on the stage, Mr. Teasdale knew he was a natural. But something happened in his first semester at campus. Mr. Teasdale noticed a change in him when he signed up for a business class. Teasdale thought it would be great. Every artist could use learning a little bit about business. But the teacher was a new hire, had gotten his MBA from a private online university just after it lost its accreditation. Teasdale didn't know all of this when he helped Ralphie register. Turns out, the kid was kind of a shy guy, set in the back in between that bloodsucker Corey Hollifield III and a zombie who was in the college's death metal bluegrass band. Yeah, it's really a thing. The vampire saw an easy mark, a lonely kid with a single mom who wasn't his real mom, and the zombie saw it too. Next thing the fairy godteachers and Daisy knew, Ralphie had switched majors, saying to Teasdale's face that nobody who studied in music ever got a job and nobody should waste time on dreaming. So Ralphie stopped dreaming and started wasting his time with a vampire and a zombie who got him hooked on Mountain High. But the boy couldn't help himself. He still wanted to sing. So when Gus the Gnome started up this trio and offered to pay pretty good money, where did that gnome get his money? Ralphie showed up to the auditions and to his surprise got the job, along with the little big Boojum. The Dog Hobble Trio did this gig every year, but none of them liked it very much. They preferred rock versions of the folk songs from their homelands, but Dr. Dagg had paid the gnome well to do barbershop quartet. He loved barbershop quartet, so the trio did it. And Dagg always asked for this song. But you're not going to hear it because it's time for this episode to end. But next time, come back and you'll hear the Dog Hobble Trio singing Get a Job. This special Valentine's Day episode is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast, along with good friends Angela Cantola and Don Wallace. Gulbheim Multebrichte, an Irish hymn, was arranged and performed by Hannah Winkler. Abend wird es wieder, a German folk song, and Going Up Cripple Creek, an American folk song, were arranged and performed by Katie Winkler. Yep, that was little old me singing, and those voice alterations were made possible by Audacity, free, open-source, cross-platform audio software. I can't make this novel a musical without it. Shower sound effect was by Clearwave Sound via freesound.org. Background music provided by Anchor. Thanks for joining me, and hope you will come back for the next episode of my passion project, Campus, a novel that wants to be a musical.